Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Medi Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what's happening up in the sky above us today, tomorrow, and Sunday. And I'm even going to give you a little tidbit about Monday just because it's the new moon on Monday. So I hope everybody's doing well today. I woke up in a very moon conjunct Uranus way with a massive headache, owing to me tromping through the zoo yesterday with my 8-year-old granddaughter and her friends, carrying about 60 pounds on my back as everybody wanted grandma to put their stuff in her backpack. It didn't seem like a big deal at the time, but when you're, my Fitbit told me I walked 6 miles with a 60-pound backpack on my back. Yeah, that is like the very definition of overdoing it. And I paid the price. In the middle of the night, I woke up and I was just pounding. And add to that, everybody's cars around here have turned yellow because of the pollen in the air. And I have a lot to go over with everybody today. I also want to get to doing some readings for people and a lots to get to. So let's do it. Good morning to everyone out there. So far, I see Mimi. Good morning. And Michelle. Good morning. And Debbie. Good morning. Debbie, don't forget you and I are chatting later this morning. My time, 11:30. I'm not sure. I guess that would be 1:30 your time. And I'll be sending you the information about that shortly. And everyone else out there I see behind the scenes, welcome. And please, you know, let me know if you have something you want to talk about today or if something's been bugging you. It's actually not a very bad day today. And in fact, as I look around, I see we've already gone through, or we're in the process of moving through, the moon conjunct Uranus. So we're already, that's the most scritchy energy of the day, and we're already past it, right? Or it's in the process of passing. The moon is, of course, moving over the top of it right now. So there could be some surprises. There could be some upsets, some things that are like, oh God, why do I have to deal with this? But then it moves on, and the next aspect that the moon makes today is with Mars, but it's a smooth flow with Mars, right? The energy of Taurus and the energy of Cancer, and things are sort of, they're both fixed signs, and they both sort of have this ideal of how things should work, and they work well together. So Mars energy today, moon energy today, good. We also have Venus in a trine with Saturn today. So a trine is when planets are in a 120-degree angle to one another. You could think of the angle as a relationship. So in this case, they're friends, right? The relationship, it's, you've been in friendships where there's just this ease and flow of the energy between the two of you. You know, nary a wrinkle in the relationship. It's unbelievably smooth. Well, that's kind of what Venus and Saturn are doing for us today. And even a little, there are some very scritchy minor things going on in the background that we're also going to talk about. But this is the major transit of the day, let's say. And it's one that brings love, relationships, money, and our values into focus. But we also have the ability with a Venus trine Saturn to work through these things in a very sort of pragmatic, practical, level-headed sort of way. And it's funny because already this morning I was thinking about this before I sat down to do all of this in my mind, and actually over the last day in my mind were some of these things about values and relationships and you know, where am I in all of that? And, you know, what things can I change and what kinds of things should I stay with? And it's just been really interesting to see things in my own life mirroring some of the considerations that are coming, popping up to the surface now, especially for the weekend for all of you. And it really lays the focus for us on where it is that we have consistency in our lives. Where is it that we have reliability in our lives? And where is it that we are, where that's not happening for us? And it gives us the opportunity to bring things back into balance. And I got to tell you, I mean, in all honesty, for me personally, and I can only share from my own experience, right? So my stories end up hopefully helping you. But here's where what I've been feeling lately is that I've had so many things going on, let's say since about April. end of March, early April. And it's like one after another, right? Big events, trips, procedures on my health, finish writing of the almanac for 2020, a zoo trip. It's like, and now I have a summit coming up. And I have, a bunch of things going on. And here's what I've been doing. I find myself, as I look back, I keep finding myself doing this. I see ahead that I have this thing coming up, whatever it is, whether it's a trip or right now it's the summit that, is occupying my head. And I see, not that I don't want to do the summit, so don't get me wrong here. It's not about that. It's that I'm almost, how do I describe this? It's almost like I'm focused on something big in the future and I'm forgetting to live in the now. I guess that's the best way to describe it. So I'm almost viewing my life right now as this series of big events followed by nothing, big event followed by nothing. But in the process, I'm forgetting that in this moment, there is a lot that I can do. There is a lot that I can be. I should be probably in those moments. And so the other day, when I was on the zoo trip with my granddaughter, it was like, oh my God, I'm just out here with kids, watching animals and enjoying the sunshine or enjoying, the interaction with my grandkids or just kid energy in general. And under the surface was this feeling that I had of, oh my God, I should be writing this thing. Oh my God, I should be preparing this webinar. Oh my God, I should be doing this. And that expectation of things that are coming, it had can rob you of the joy in the moment. Huge, huge thing that's been in my face for the last couple of months, but really just it's really been in my face just the last couple of days, but it's been related to my behavior over the last couple of months. Almost as if these big things that I have to do or have had to do or go through were robbing me of being in the moment. Now, of course, they're not. It's me. So it is our ability right now, maybe to take a look at that and where do we want to show up? And where do we want to be consistent? Where do we want to focus our energy and really live from our values? What do we want to let go of? Now, you guys may not have necessarily the let go of energy. I do as I'm facing my 58th birthday here, looking right down the shotgun barrel of it. And that is the beginning, the opening salvo, if you will, to a Saturn return, the second Saturn return, which is already a time of letting go and pruning away some of the things in your life. So I've already been looking at that as well. So letting go energy is there. It's kind of behind the scenes, depending on where you are in the cycles of your other, larger planets or more important planets, your sign, et cetera. But there's this ideal then of the values that you have, and are you living from that? And in the living of your values, are you sometimes looking at the next big thing that you have to do instead of living in the moment? Big lesson that we can look at today. Especially because some of the energy's in behind the scenes. Now, when I get my calendars, I pull a calendar like this for every month, and it tells me all along, every day what's happening. But it tells me the big things, right? So I have to go to another source to really look at what's the undercurrent? What's that? What are the scritchy things beneath the surface? What are the wonderful things beneath the surface that may not be playing in a big way? But if there's a lot of them going on, it can feed into irritability. It can feed into conflict. It can feed into our happiness or our joy. So our excitement, et cetera. So we need to look at what is happening in behind the scenes sometimes. And today into the weekend is one of those days. So I feel like this is an awesome weekend. So don't get me wrong here. These are little scritchinesses, right, that can create moments of irritation or moments of aha. So keep in mind, it might be something that you see and if you scratch your head and you're like, whoa, I have not seen that before. Or why am I seeing this now, et cetera. So let's break those down. So today, later in the day, while we have Venus trine Saturn for most of the day, underneath it, we have a Venus semi-square to Chiron. Now, a semi-square is a 45-degree angle. It means half of the challenge of the 90-degree angle square, right? So it's half challenging. It's half challenging in that it's really just kind of when you step up, when you get a splinter and it's not really painful, although it can be, but it's just kind of annoying and you're trying to get it out and you can't get it. And the more you try, the more irritated it is. You step on a sticker outside or something like that. That is the semi-square. It is sort of just about an irritant, like, something that just kind of starts you getting to your blood to boil, but it's not quite to the boil yet. And Venus semi-square Chiron is looking at our relationships to everything. How are we showing up in our relationships? Chiron is an Aries, and Aries is a sign that Mars rules. So we have some, this is where we're hoping to gain independence, and this is where we're letting go of codependence. This is where we're trying to live by our values, right? And recognizing that when we're living by that as our compass, that it isn't harming others. It's empowering us as individuals, and then that is reflected out to others to help them live their empowered lives. But Venus in a semi-square to Chiron initially may have us looking at our relationships with that sideways glance, like, I don't like that. I don't feel good here. I don't like the way this is headed. And it can also be that we are realizing we're not living in accordance with our values, right? We say that we value peace and harmony, but everything around us is showing us discord and craziness. And we have to own that in some way, right? So there's that little bit of beneath the surface, recognition that we might be the source of our own troubles. We might be the source of our own irritation. So we're owning it. The possibilities, we own it. It doesn't mean that we go into blame. It doesn't make us victims. It makes us responsible, meaning that we can respond accordingly to what is happening in our world. The recognition I had that I was, living from bump to bump or project to project, and it was robbing me of the joy of the moment, allowed me to breathe and sit in this moment and see what was around me that I was missing in my big, idea of what I had to do next. So it's possible then we can see more into our lives and what we can do to help ourselves to release the irritants, right? Now there's also Venus. Venus is the real focus here, right? This Venus and Saturn, Venus and Chiron, and now we're going to talk about Venus in a quincunx to Jupiter. Quincunx, big word, means yikes. They're in not palatable, not compatible energies. So we have Venus in Taurus, right? Steady Eddie, loyal, kind of gets, set in their own ways, sensual, pragmatic and uber practical. It's a fixed sign. That means it likes to stay the course. And Jupiter is in Sagittarius. Jupiter in Sagittarius is optimism. It wants action and it is cardinal fire. It's passionate. It says, mutable fire, excuse me. It wants change. It wants to go on. It's restless energy. So we have Venus in the more steady Eddie energy in a relationship fraught with peril with Jupiter, who wants that adventure. So we have to be able to move through this inner feeling of, I don't feel like I don't feel, what was it my daughter said to me the other day? It was a perfect word. She didn't use the word restless. I gave it restless, but she gave it the word, for her, the feeling was like she's stuck. That she said stuck, but there was some other combination of words that she used. And what I recognized is that she was restless, that, everything's going so well in her life, right? She is up on top here, but there's a sense of restlessness in like, what comes next? Can it really be this easy? I think sometimes we are also feeling like, can it really be this good? And so we tend to want to create or stir the pot a bit. And so looking at that in your own life, where are you staying stubbornly put in one place, or by opposite, where are you being restless and creating chaos or change just for the sake of change? So we're looking at that. It's in this case, we're forced to sort of adapt. In this case, we're sometimes forced to sacrifice something, give up something, let go of something. And these are all important things because we're in that balsamic phase, that the dark of the moon, let's call it. Monday, the moon goes into new phase, right? It's new in Gemini. So, literally from today, Saturday and Sunday, we're in that dark phase of the moon. So we're contemplating, right? We're taking in messages. We're getting insight. We are probing our depths, or we should be. It's there for us to do it. So that when we get into the new moon, we can start fresh, right? We can start with new. We can start by, something in a new way even. So right now we have these scritchy little transits that are causing us to really look deeper. And the third one for the day, as if we need another one, is a Mercury quincunx Pluto. Wow. Now that one, remember Mercury rules the mind and it rules our speech, what we say. And Pluto goes deep, right? Pluto takes us into the underworld to look beneath the words, to look beneath what's going on in our minds. And this one, even though it's a quincunx, which would imply that it's going to be sort of scritchy, to me, this is our opportunity to look below. If somebody irritates you, or if something happens, or if you're not happy about something, you hear something, see something, intuit something going on in the outer world, look beneath the surface, like, lift the hood and look underneath. What's there? And a lot of people aren't willing to do that. And then you sit in that pot of stew for the day, for the week, for however long it takes to move it through. Or do you even move it through? Is it just a process of you keep squashing it down, swallowing it, and pushing it down further? And this is an opportunity, right? Let it all come up. Have your handy dandy journal with you this week or weekend. Have your ideas of what you're going to do when you get triggered. Are you going to go take a walk? Are you going to go out in nature? Are you going to scream? Are you going to write? What are you going to do? Have an idea of what you're going to do, because I think this is the juicy part for each one of us in the lead up to this new moon. Any questions? Let's see what everybody's saying out there. Good morning, Londa. Good morning, Patricia, Suzanne. Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, Colleen. Good morning. Great to see you, ladies. Vanita, good morning. Vanita, I'm going to pull your chart, so don't leave me this morning. Diana Ballgard, good morning. Latricia and Rebecca, good morning. So let's see. Suzanne says, the only time I really am is when I'm babysitting my grandma with Alzheimer's. I have to stay in the now with her. Good, good, good. Good morning, Linda. I missed you. Sorry. Being in the now is so important. And you're dealing with a big issue there with your grandma, and having to be ever vigilant and watchful, I suppose, of what she's doing, of being mindful of her care. And that also might lead you to the eventuality of where does this disease lead her, and all of that. So that's huge. So being in the now, hugely important for you, enjoying every moment that you have, every lucid moment that you have with her. And if there aren't any, then just blessing her and being with her. Colleen, letting go is not easy for me, but learning. Lynn's also feeling the letting go energy. Very good. I'm so glad. Sometimes I feel like it's just me out there. It's hard to say. I don't want to project onto others what I'm feeling, but I'm usually tapped into something myself. And if I am, sure enough, someone else is. So I'm glad to hear that. I'm not glad to hear that other people might be struggling with this, but I think it's a grand opportunity. This is a grand opportunity to let go of what's no longer working. Can I share something with you guys? This is kind of a TMI, but I've been really digging into who I am out here in the world. And a part of me really just wants to say, bleep astrology, human design, gene keys, everything, getting on here in the morning, writing, struggling for customers, blah, blah, blah. I really do. Some days just go, what would I be without that? And wow, what a relief that would be on one hand. And wow, what a void that would open for me on the other hand. So then I went from that to, okay, well, what if I streamlined what I'm doing? I was on different websites over the last several days. I go out to the different websites looking for information, for insight, for, am I on track? Am I off track? That kind of thing. And as I'm looking at other people's websites, I'm going, wow, They're so focused on a topic, right? Or on a system. I'm not. I'm dabbling in astrology, I'm dabbling in human design, I'm dabbling in gene keys, and oh, then there's, Pleiadian earth energy astrology and Mayan astrology, and it almost made it was dizzying as I was looking at that. And I went, but you were also a Gemini, so dabbling is good. Dabbling is your natural way to be. So, but when does dabbling turn into scattered? So I've been really looking at what do I really want? What do you all want? Right? That's also concerning to me. What does the world want right now? What do my followers and people really want to hear from me? I haven't gotten to those answers yet because I've been triggered all along by what does that mean for me? And old stuff keeps coming up. And I'm like, God, can I not be done with this? What is it that I'm not seeing here? This is my weekend, right? For me, I'm going to go hiking tomorrow out in the woods and along the ocean. I'm going to be with family. I'm going to keep my trusty handy dandy journal with me or my phone so I could record insights because I want to be done with this. I want to be focused on where I'm going. You guys may be feeling it that way too. Maybe not exactly like me because you're not exactly me. But something like that might be playing in the background of your mind and your life right now, getting clearer and clearer about your, I guess you could say, niche, your road, what is true for you. And then that forces you almost into a letting go of what doesn't support that, right? So letting go, letting God, that's the Black Moon Lilith in Pisces right now as well. Our shadow is wanting to hold on to everything. Because we don't know when, we might want that back. We're afraid, right? If we let it go, what if I need it again? And so lots going on that way. It's amazing to me that I can even get through a day right now because there is so many things for me to consider and look at. I know that that is a sign of integration. That is also a sign of evolution. So if you're feeling that way, if it's what's happening in your life, in your relationships, in your money, in your career, you are in good company. And it's all part of our getting clarity around what we want to do next. Camille says, yeah, it's like a flashback in a movie. Yes, exactly. No, Lynn, I am a 6'2". So the three does play, this there's those the tendency for experiential energy, but I'm definitely a 6'2". Londa says, removing the mask of who we are, I'm going to get back on the tractor. I love that. That's a great metaphor, getting back on the earth, getting back onto the right path. Right? Even though a tractor moves, it moves forward, it can move backwards, it can make turns, but it's working its work, right? It's doing its magic, whatever its magic is, which is interesting. I'm going to give you guys a phrase, and we're going to talk about that more on Monday. But Monday's new moon is called Wormholes and Miracles. Wormholes and Miracles. If you want to read up ahead and you happen to have the Gene Keys book, right? Gene Keys. Big old tome of, look at that. That's how thick this book is, of the 64 gene keys, which are also the 64 gates in your human design. But this goes deeper, right? It takes you into the third, into the holographic, the hologenetic profile of shadow, light, or gift, and the Siddhi, the highest expression of it. Take a peek at gate 35. Gate 35 is where the new moon and the sun will be sitting. And so it gives us insight into wormholes, shortcuts, if you will, to miracles. So that's what our new moon is about. So giving you that little bit of heads up, if you have that book, take a look at it. And by the way, if your birthday is right around then, we have Tom, whose birthday is on the 3rd. L, your birthday is June 4th. You guys are going to be in the shadow of that new moon. So that makes it for, those of you in that first couple of days of June, have a new moon or in the closing phase of an old moon that you'll want to pay attention to. Time maybe for a solar return reading. Okay, any questions? Let's see how people are handling this information. Mimi says, feels like walking in water. It is pleasant, yet movement is slow. Indeed, indeed. I don't know what ashwagandha is. I have a remembrance of it from something, but I'm not sure what it is. Lynn, love it, feeling the letting go energy. Lynn, I've already read these comments. What am I doing? Mimi, okay, for me, if I didn't dabble, I would be bored out of my mind. I love that you touch on many bits that all come together. It does feel a little bit scattered in the making of it, but in the end, it all comes together, Mimi, you're right. Londa, surrender, trust, receive, acceptance. Yes, big, 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 big. Camille, moving forward, yay. Natasha, I love the greater picture. Your mini hats fits the new energies coming in. Working with Guardians of Grace. Ooh, I love that. Londa has some words here for us. Surrender, trust, allow, receive, acceptance, innocence, oneness, expansion. Yikes, that's a lot, but I love it. And Latricia, letting go. Yes. So I guess you guys are all sort of with me in this, right? So it's not just me in my world, it's happening, right? It's happening. But I look at it as an opportunity. It's a huge opportunity. And the more we work on ourselves, the better prepared, trust me when I say, the better prepared you are as we move into the latter half of this year and literally all of 2020. So do your work. Let's do it together. Let's hang out together. Let's move through this. Saturday, the moon is in Taurus all day. Lovely moon. It is in a sextile to Neptune. It is conjunct Venus. It is trining Saturn and Pluto. All says good, ease, and flow, right? All those words that Londa gave us in effect on Saturday. We still have Venus quincunx Jupiter, though, that little scritch that's still going on beneath the surface. And I think this one gets focused at our relationships. So I know, you know, I've talked to several of you out there all the time. I talk to you people, and relationships is a big thing for all of us, right? So here's another thing that we could be looking at over the weekend. I put it in quote, our expectations in relationships. Expectations in relationships. Because when we have, and I think we've all done it, we all sort of have this expectation, whether it is explicit, where we've actually said what it is that we have as an expectation in a relationship, or if it's implicit, if it's implied by being in a relationship, for instance, monogamy. We think of monogamy, if you're married, of course, that's an explicit one because we've set a vow around that. If you are in a relationship that is not necessarily one that's a marriage, but it's a close one-on-one relationship, that's probably more implied monogamy unless you've had a conversation around it. And so many times we have this expectation that this is what we, you know, are going to experience in this relationship. And then when it doesn't happen, it blows us up, right? We get into a confrontation or we have this inner conflict. And the best way through this conflict first, be response able. Move through your own stuff around it. Check your expectations. What were your expectations? Sometimes our expectations create complexity in a relationship when rather we should be expecting simplicity in our relationships. That's the key. I looked at the two gates that both Venus and Jupiter were sitting at, and it brought me to creating simplicity rather than complexity. When you break it down, we all want love. That's the simplest common denominator in our relationships. We want love, we want to love, and we want to be loved. So if that's the simple thing, the rest is all complex, right? Then the rest is all just so much stuff. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, somebody cheating on you or, fighting all the time isn't something that you should work through. It just means let's break it down to its commonest denominator, which is love. That's what we want. How do we go about receiving that? How do we go about giving that? That's what we can focus on this week. And what are the simple pleasures of being together? What are the simple pleasures of being together? Is it sharing a cup of coffee in the morning? My husband and I, we do that in the morning. Is it, you know, sharing a walk on the beach? Is it just a simple conversation? Is it sitting in silence and just, you know, each doing something, but being in that companionable silence with one another? All these things, right, are simple. I'm not saying you don't have complex relationships. I'm not even saying that you should or shouldn't have them. I'm saying the simplest is the best. And that is what we could be looking at over the weekend, right? What is the simple pleasure of this relationship? Okay, now Sunday morning, we end up in a void of course moon until 4:48 a.m. So most of the void is from later in the day, Saturday into early Sunday morning, 7:48 for you all on the East Coast when the moon moves into Gemini. Out of Taurus into Gemini, energy picks up. It becomes a little more lighthearted. It becomes a little more mind-oriented or conversation-oriented. But we're in the dark of the moon. We are definitely in the dark of the moon there, right? It's the last day before the new moon. It's a great time for reflection, for relaxation, for contemplating, using the power of Gemini in the mind to be able to pull threads, right? Follow information, right? Look for your own shadows, not to beat yourself up, but to be able to move through them. What messages might you be receiving? What insights are you receiving? What would you want to learn? What would you want to teach? Just diving in a little bit deeper. And then later in the day on Sunday, Venus trines Pluto. You know, every time I say there's a something to Saturn, that coming right on its heels is going to be a something to Pluto, because those two are so close together in the sign of Capricorn right now. So here we have focus on finances or relationship there, or maybe they're, you know, both of them are up for you. But what Venus gives us with Pluto is pathway to strategy or a strategic access to a plan. What can I strategize for the long haul, right? If I'm looking at finances, and I have a feeling there's more of a focus on finances as we move into Sunday. Saturday and today more on the lines of the relationships, but you know, it's kind of changing as we move later into the weekend and into the early part of the week. So developing patience, and maybe there is a strategy even in your relationships that you want to bring up of how to move back toward each other instead of moving away from each other, how to simplify rather than keep it complex. The same thing with your finances. Because in this, we get insights into the deeper issues, the deeper causes of our pain, the deeper issue, the deeper wound that we've been dealing with. So use this energy on Sunday as contemplative, as digging deeper, and it doesn't have to, I actually kind of enjoy that kind of work sometimes. If I just allow my mind to roll with it and not, you know, oh, that's horrible of you, or that's, you know, that's your weakest point or something like that. If I just let it move through me, I can gain such insights. And I wish that for all of you as well, gaining insights into your deepest, darkest places so that you can put it out to the light, so that you can move around it or over it or get past it, right? To get back to being your light. Remember, Jupiter was engaged with Venus in a quincunx and also with the moon. And Jupiter sitting at the gate 26, we're looking at the deeper places anyway, our integrity, our truth. And that is about how do we bring more light in, right? How do we transduce more light through into our DNA, through our DNA, and then back out to the world? It's a process of, you know, it's kind of being in a give and a receive mode. All right. How's everybody doing with that? Let's see what comments we're going. I think everybody's gobsmacked. No comments since the last ones I read. Okay, well, that's good. So how about this? There was something else I wanted to tell you guys today. I wanted to show you. I'm going to show you a human design chart of today. We are all reflectors as of today. But that's not really true, because each of you have, you know, your own chart that is highlighted. You know, you have centers that are lit up somewhere, right? But anybody born today would be a reflector. There are no centers that are defined, which means we have a bunch of hanging gates. And the hanging gate that I want to talk about is down here right now on the, this is the root center. It is gate 39. And it is Mars that is sitting here at gate 39, and it's called the gate of provocation. So Mars, think about Mars, warrior energy. He's a provocateur, right? He's the master of conflict and confrontation. And now he's moved into, for the next 7 or 8 days, into a gate in our charts that is called provocation. Now, if you already, so here's the gate down here. I'm going to bring this in a little bit so you guys can see. The gate 39 is right here. So in your case, you may have it white. You may have it all black like this one. You might have it striped. You might have it red. Or you may have it empty. And then the other end, gate 55, is defined halfway. And that would then complete this whole channel for you, which is the channel of emoting. It is a highly emotional connection when it meets up with the solar plexus. So some of you, in my own natal chart, I have that. So this isn't going to be new for me, thankfully. But for some of you, I feel like you may end up provoked or being the provoker. Now, the energy in the gift is dynamism, the forward motion, right? The ability to move forward. In the highest expression, it's liberation. Don't we all love that word, right? What does that mean? Freedom, blessed freedom. And indeed, gate 39, provocation, leads us over to gate 55, the gate of abundance, that in the gene keys in its highest two expressions is freedom and freedom. We want freedom. We want liberation. And that is what this channel is meant to bring to us. But it's an emotional energy when it's connected up. The energy of emotion is meant to be used as a guidance system. Unfortunately, we are emotionally immature, let's say. We've as human beings, we've devoted our way forward. Our guidance system has been firmly planted in the fear sector. And we're slowly evolving in toward the emotional center being our guidance system. So that means if something provokes you, you don't express it as an emotion. You instead turn it a little bit and say, why is this provoking me? Now, sometimes you're a provocateur yourself, and I have a friend who's a provocateur. She's provoked me in many, many ways, but provocation doesn't always have to be a bad thing, right? Maybe it provokes you to look deeper within. Maybe it provokes you to take steps that you've not wanted to take in the past. Maybe it provokes you to look at the higher expression of your own energy. So provocation has its high side, as any gate does, and it has its low side. But Mars sitting there guarantees that something's needling at us, right? Something could be poking the bear, right? And what's poking the bear is the movement from the gate 39 to the gate 55, or to the gift in gate 39, which is the liberation part, or the freedom at the other end, using your emotions to help you get there. So for example, if you find yourself right now in an emotional funk, or you don't feel good where you are, then that is telling you something key, like maybe you're in the wrong place, in the wrong job, within the wrong relationship. Is this something that if you pulled the shades back, you'd see that in reality it's a crisis of your own making, that kind of thing? Where aren't you free? That's really what it is that we're looking at. Sorry, allergies. I had to take a Claritin. Always dries me out. So Mars, next 7 to 8 days, I want you to be ever vigil about what's coming up, what's poking you. And you don't even maybe have to work through it as we move into this next week so much as just to observe it. How does it move through you? Where does it move in your body? When you're provoked by somebody or something, where does it move in your body? Does it go to your head? Right? And that starts this process of you browbeating yourself or talking, you know, not good to yourself. Does it move into your stomach, right? And create stomach problems or digestive issues? Does it move down to your legs and your feet, and where you get cramps, or you're feeling restless legs or something like that? Pay attention, because that's also insight into what's happening for you. So allowing provocation isn't a bad thing. It is stimulating to where do I go next? What's the next level? What's the next step to freeing myself? But in the short term, it can be not feeling so good, right? Especially Mars. And Mars is in Cancer. And technically, what I almost see happening is something triggers us and we pull in, right? We want to pull into our shell. We want to disappear. We want to hide. We want to protect. We want to shield. And that, of course, is a reflection of the fear, fear over here in the spleen, not necessarily the emotional truth. So I hope you can see the difference, right? Mars is in Cancer. Cancer is a sign that is security oriented and wants protected and will do whatever it needs to do to protect. Provocation says maybe that's not your best route. Maybe that's you not being your own best friend. Sorry, tickle in my throat. Okay, let's see what people are saying here. Lynn says she picked a card from Colette's The Good Tarot. Ooh, I don't know what that one is. Meaning, celebration, enjoying community, team spirit, common goals, friendship. I like it. There are affirmations to say. Here are just a few. Joy and excitement flow among all those gathered. I embrace being a part of something larger than myself. We buoy each other and play together as we co-create. There is more, but if it resonates, try it on. I love those. Those are awesome. Then, Sarah, good morning to you, Sarah. I don't know if I said that, but good morning. Absolutely, she says. I feel like I've unintentionally put distance in my relationship when it comes to getting overly involved in work and friends. I'm coming back to that thankful reminder of how supportive and how easily this person just loves me for who I am. Wow, that's unpack that for yourself. That's huge. That's pretty dang awesome, actually. Oh, Lynn says she forgot to say it was the Three of Water. Water, water, love it. Camille, it depends upon from where the provocation comes. Now, isn't that the truth, right? If the provocation comes from those closest to you, it hurts. Sometimes, if it's that kind of provocation, but other times it could be a different kind of thing where someone just makes you go, I want that. I'm going to go with her there. So it depends on what that provocation might be. Elisa, good morning. Hello and blessings to you as well. Asa, I'm so late. Namaste, beautiful ones. It's okay. You can always go back and listen. Latricia, I slept well. I sleep well, wake up positive, but as soon as I settle in for facing the day, I feel such low energy. It is almost painful. I'm trying to, I know I did your human design chart just recently, and I'm trying to remember if you had an open emotional center or not, because you may be empathic, Latricia, and what you're doing is you're picking up everybody else, the energy of the collective, let's say. And it may not even be your own energy. So being careful that you're displaying your own energy and not others. Keep asking, is this mine? And if the answer is no, this isn't yours, then let it go. Be free of it and move on. But value your emotional center, whether it's open or defined, because it does give you such access to information. Okay, so I did that. Let's see. I pulled, oh, here she is. I haven't done this in a while for you all, but here's the Wisdom Keeper's inner guidebook, right? The 64 Faces of Wisdom, of Awakening, I think it says, of Awakening with Rosie Aronson. And I pulled the 39 card, Dynamism. Look at her beautiful face. I just love these faces, right? 39 is the card of provocation, but she doesn't look terribly provoked, does she? She looks fairly at peace. I like that. But let's read. It's longish, but I think it's well worth it. And when I'm done today, I will put the questions for contemplation up on the Living Astrology page for you to contemplate, because you probably won't be able to write them down as fast as I can read them. But here's the wisdom story. It says, everyone called my father a saint. At church, he was a dynamic and passionate preacher. At home, he was strict, mean, and provocative. We weren't allowed to play like the other kids. We had to study scripture and help around the church. If we misbehaved or acted childishly, he threatened us with fiery damnation. He knew just what to say to instill the fear of God in us and just how to say it. While my siblings nodded, yes, sir, disappearing into passivity, frozenness, and fatigue, I felt trapped and got angry. I had a mouth on me too and constantly called out his hypocrisy. Once I yelled, "You're no saint! Having you as a father is hell." My words got him so mad he struck me with a belt. Afterwards, instead of apologizing, he said he only wanted to keep me out of trouble and from being damned, but I didn't buy his excuses. When I left home, I promised I'd never be anything like him. As I became a man, I used the sharpness of my tongue to criticize his religion, to defend my choices, the way I lived and loved. For years, though we never saw each other, I was wrapped up in a massive power struggle with my father. Then came the call. My father was dying. It was time to say my goodbyes. I walked into his bedroom, and there he was, so small and helpless and not at all the man I'd been so busy fighting. Unable to speak, he looked up at me and smiled. For the first time in my life, I saw the child in him that was never allowed to play. I saw his love, his sorrow for how he'd treated me, his desire to keep me safe from the pain he'd experienced. I was overcome with love for the man. For the next miraculous 39 days, I never left his side. I read stories to him, played games with him, and sang songs to him, and we laughed. When I sang his favorite gospel song, "When I Hardly Knew I Remembered," he drifted off peacefully to sleep. The day my father died was the day I welcomed back the fire of creativity and passion into my soul. Today, I am a preacher with the blessed job of instilling in people not the fear of God, but the love of God. In my church, all are welcome. Heaven is experienced right here on earth. My father's spirit speaks straight out from my heart, and together our words set people free. My gift to you. I come to tell you that it doesn't matter how bad your upbringing was. All unhealthy conditioning can be reversed. You can contribute to the field of violence in our world by provoking others or allowing yourself to be provoked. Or you can explore your passions and unleash your dynamism, in parentheses, your genius, by simply letting yourself be and at play. Remember, genius isn't unusual. It has nothing to do with knowledge or with the mind. It arises the moment you allow yourself to do what you love. It is time for you to allow your horizons and breath to expand. If you provoke anything in the people around you, may it be their creative spark and a sense of liberation. Nice. Here are the questions for contemplation. And again, I will type those up and put them into the Living Astrology page. These might be good questions for us to move into over the weekend. One, where do you feel trapped or imprisoned by fear in your life? Two, when you were a young child, were you allowed to enjoy and express your dynamism and vitality or taught to subdue it? Three, does your anger ever get the better of you? Do people sometimes feel provoked by you and you don't always understand why? Four, when was the last time you tasted true liberation? And the last one, think of something that you loved to do or play when you were a child, age 7 and under. Spend some time engaging in that activity today. Notice how it feels. Nice, right? That's where Mars is. For us, for the next 7 or 8 days, we can be playing in that energy, right, of provocation. Okay. Any, see, hi, Allison. It's good to see you. Gate 39, yes. Vanita, another 3, because it's a 12 and it's a 3. Okay. So, Vanita, I said I was going to pull up your chart, and I'm going to do that right now, and then I'm going to pull a couple cards for people. We have about 10 minutes. So, Vanita, hold on 1 second while I find you in my mix. And the reason I'm doing Vanita's chart is because last Friday she asked me to do that, and I did not get to her. And I've not been able to get to her all week either. So I'm feeling like she needs some answers, and I'm going to get them for her. And I always say this, I'm going to move you from that old product to this one, and I have not done it yet. So hold with me for just a moment. By the way, yesterday at the zoo, I witnessed some very heartbreaking things and some very fun sort of things, you know, in the face of these animals that are basically in cages, even though it might be a nice big pen or open, you know, the Seattle Zoo is really good at having, you know, wide open areas for animals to move through. But as many times as I've been to that zoo, I've never heard the lions roar. And yesterday, I'm standing there. I see only one lion. It's the male lion, and he's drinking water. And then he moves up and he starts roaring. This most horrendous, you knew without a doubt that he was in mourning, that he was sad or upset. And I said, I've never heard the lions roar. And this lady looks at me and she said, his mate just died. She had had some kind of surgery, and these two had been together the whole time they'd been at the zoo, and she passed away. And so he's mourning her. He's looking for her. He's calling for her. I'm telling you, it was like a knife in the heart. I was so sad for him on his behalf, and it provoked. I don't know. It was just so. I just wanted him to be happy again. It was very, very weird. But then, on the other hand, there were all the monkeys, the orangutans, and the gorillas. They were having a great time. And then there were the wolves. So, several years ago, I went to the zoo with my eldest grandson, and he and I were taking pictures of the wolves. They're white wolves. They're beautiful wolves. Oh my goodness. And in the process, I somehow dropped my camera over the gate into the wolf's pen. Now, there's a lot of space for them to have to cross through before they could ever get to somebody at the gate, on the inside of the gate there. And they're also in a wide open area. This little Chinese man came up and he jumped the gate for me, got my camera, and got back before the wolves even noticed. And so yesterday, I was very careful that I was standing back with my phone, because now I might have been using my phone then too. Taking pictures of these wolves. I turned to walk away to go to the owls, and I hear wolves howling. You never hear this in the zoo, right? You just never hear them actually howling. And it was mesmerizing. Nobody knew why they were howling, but I was just drawn back to that gate to just stand there and listen to the beautiful call of the wild, right? That's exactly what I kept thinking to myself, the call of the wild. What were they saying? Why were they howling? There was even a zoo person in, like a, I don't know, a docent or something standing there. And she said, they do this when they're sirens or when there's, ambulance or fire engines. And anybody hear that? Nope, none of us heard any of that. But they heard something and they were reacting to it. It was so gorgeous. So interesting experiences yesterday. Okay, Benita, I'm now looking at your, I know it was terribly heartbreaking, Colleen. Terribly heartbreaking. I just said, why don't you guys get him a new mate? I suppose it's not all that easy, though. Okay, Vanita, looking at your chart, sweetie. Okay, so Vanita, this I am, there's always something impeccable in timing, right? I struggled all week to try to get to your chart to be able to talk to you about your chart, and I just hadn't been able to do it, and here's why. Today, Mars, which is in the gate of provocation, is moving into your 12th house of the hidden. So here's an opportunity for you like no other, right? And that is to look deeper, provoke yourself. Your destiny, your own natal Mars, and your prenatal lunar eclipse are all in the 12th house. So there's lots of things hidden from you. There's self-sabotage, right? There's opportunities to be your own worst enemy instead of your own best friend. And so Mars now moving into here is setting up for a Mars return that won't happen until early July. But for right now, Mars in provocation is helping you dig under, look deeper, ask yourself those questions. If you don't like what you see in the world in a specific area of your life, ask the question, why is this the way this is? How is this serving me? Right? How can I use this energy? And transform it. And that is being done for you on your behalf, right? This isn't you being punished. And literally, this has been almost 2 years, maybe 24 months, 26 months right now, since you've been able to experience this kind of energy. But it's powerful and it can be very enlightening. So consciously go into this. And I'm going to back up for a moment. The sun has just moved into, well, maybe 5 days ago, moved into your 11th house. When the sun moves into the 11th house, it is time for let's see, what's her name? Jan Spiller calls it your power wish period. And it's a time period where there's a lot of power and sort of like time is slowed down to allow you to create things when the sun moves through the 11th house. It's sort of like, be very careful what your mind is on because it's creating so fast. So if you're focused in the negative, then you're going to see more and more of that, whether it is because things get worse or because you just become more provoked, to use that word, by the things you see that you don't have, or by places where you're still stuck, etc. Instead, keep your mind focused on what you want to create. What would you like to see? How would you like to be? What would you like to experience? And then, of course, over time, you've got to keep your thoughts and your mind focused on that. And so kind of in tandem here, you've got kind of two processes going on. One, digging you in into the darker, deeper places. And two, one that is telling you, get your mind on what you desire. Get it off of what you see as the missing pieces in your life or the places where it's not good. But digging in, you know, sometimes initially you may feel like, oh, right, this is, you know, this doesn't feel good, but it's okay. You've got to go there. You've got to be able to come back with the jewel, with the aha. But the thing I would tell you to focus on right now is, what are the thoughts, right? What are you thinking? What are you saying to yourself as well? Chiron for you is moving through the 9th house, and it is your embracing of a bigger you, an evolved you, a more conscious you, becoming more independent and becoming more sure of yourself and more confident, right? Letting go of some of the places where you've had, you know, issues in your life so that you can return yourself to love, returning yourself to balance, and returning yourself to financial stability. So much going on here for you. Not long after the sun moves through the 11th house, Venus will be there as well. And if you do this, you know, and take this consciously and move through it, Venus may start rewarding the work with you seeing those cracks, you know, and opening places that you can move through that take you into the light, more into the light. Not that you're in the dark. I don't mean that, but I hope that helps you. She says, I'm self-provoking, all right, with a happy face. Or a laughing face. So self-provoking, you can make it sort of joyful. It doesn't have to be ugly. You know, you could sort of even, you know, if it's irritating, you know, why is it irritating? I'll tell you why it would be irritating to me. I should know better. That's what I always say to myself. I should know better, right? I'm out there talking to people all day long, telling them this kind of stuff. I should know better. The other thing I'll say to myself, you're 57 years old, girl. When are you going to grow up? Right. Though that's not particularly self, compassion, self-loving. So, but it can open the doorway to say, looking at it and sort of laughing a little bit at the situation and helping you to liberate yourself, free yourself so you can move forward. So I hope that helps. All right. So let's pull some cards now. Who hasn't had a card reading that wants one? I have both the Wisdom of the Oracle, WOTA, and I also have Spirit Animal with me today. I brought them back out. Notice I'm still in the same place. When I got home yesterday, literally, I was done. It was a done day for me. So I have animals and I have the WOTA deck. So who would like a reading? In fact, you know what, Benita? I think I'm going to pull a card for you from the Wisdom of the Oracle on this for you, just because I can, and I feel like you need one. Latricia, I would love to do a card reading for you. Would you tell me if you would prefer WOTA or Spirit Animal? Ooh, here it is. Ooh, round and round. Upside down, round and round. So, Vanita, there we go. I'm going to turn it over so you can see. Round and round. It's card 25, it's a 7. That speaks to deep thought, right? Self-searching. So let's see what round and round is, card 25. And round, essential meaning, the spiral quality of events when a lesson isn't quite integrated. Cycles you are challenged to break. revisiting a pattern from a new perspective. Wow, this is so up your alley right now, girlfriend. And in the upside down or protection message says, are you refusing to see your own personal responsibility for repeating lessons you don't need to relearn? ? You have to surrender now to the fact that you are the common denominator in all these repeat performances. Be happy, for this is a wonderful spot to be in. You can now see the cycles that you wish to exit. Once you figure out that you have the power to stop going round and round, you possess the key to your freedom. Be good to yourself. It's not about blame, but accountability. You have the abundant life filled, the abundant life filled with love and prosperity that spirit so wants for you. So validation, validation, validation. Gotta love that. Okay. So now this is going to be for Latricia. She says, wisdom of the oracle. Or is that what she said? Hold on. I don't see. Wota. Here we go. This is for Latricia. And I see other people popping in. Jennifer Peachy, I see you, and I will get you a card as well. So right now, this is, though, for Latricia. And, mending. And it was upside down. So mending is card number 52, also a seven. How fun is that? Mending. And in protection. So let's see what that one looks like. I think we have some people doing some deep dives this weekend. So mending is, the essential meaning is forgiveness, making amends, healing after arguments. And upside down, it says heartbreak is a strange healer of souls. Our grief strips away our masks and loosens our tight hold on our separateness, where we view ourselves as I and the world as it. Loss allows us to see ourselves as part of a larger scheme, opening us up to sympathy, empathy, and dependence on others in the moment when we can't hold ourselves together. And it leads us to become one with the greater whole again. Pain and suffering is part of life, and none of us will be immune to it. Can you view this loss, this pain, this dissonance as a way back to source? Let your sorrow break your heart wide open. You will never be left behind. You are loved now more than ever by spirit, who does not want you to feel alone. One day you will look back and know this truth. Wow. So whatever it is you've been moving through, there's light on the horizon. And it has, you know, based on this card, served your higher purpose. All right. Hope that helps, Latricia. Jennifer, wisdom of the oracle, please. This is for Jennifer Peachy. I love your name, Jennifer Peachy. Just like Colleen McSpirit. Gotta love those names. Okay, so for Jennifer. And, whoa, this deck needs. Oh, there it went. Okay, the card is upside down from my view. So I'm going to take it that way. It says time for a nap, card 24, right? Oh, little fox in the curve of the moon, right? Time for a nap. So let's look and see what this means for you, Jennifer. 24, which is a six. I don't know if Suzanne's out there still, but when she's out there, she's usually putting up the angel numbers for us, which I so appreciate when she does. 24. So the essential meaning says rest, rejuvenation, and renewal, temporary non-action, allowing dreams to arise. And time for a nap upside down. You are a human being, not a human doing. Is it possible you're suffering from workaholism? Could you be the one who thinks it's your job to save everyone, to be there for everyone, and to go, go, go until you can barely see straight? You've gone as far as you can. You've worked hard and nourished people and projects, but now you are an empty well and have no reserves for others or for yourself. Don't let your ego keep you going full speed when your body and spirit need rest. Exhaustion is calling you to stop what you're doing altogether and take a break. If you don't, the appearance of this card could portend a possible illness that stems from being totally overwhelmed. You will feel like a new person if you take that break. Do it now. That's pretty clear cut. human being, not human doing. Good reminder for all of us. And remember, when we pull these cards, you know, we may think we're pulling it just for an individual, but on some level, it is applicable to all of us. So I love that in doing cards. Vanita, you are most welcome, sweetheart. Camille, I would love an oracle card. Okay, here we go. We are going to do, you're welcome, Jennifer. Does that make sense to you? I always wonder, because I'm just pulling these cards and actually I'm pulling the card, but it's actually spirit speaking hopefully through me and not, I try to step out of it myself, but sometimes it's hard to do. Yin, this is for Camille. Yin, upside down, card number two. All right, so let's see what that is. I would suspect that's about receiving. She's a beautiful card, pink. You can see the angels in the background. It's hard to see in the light here. I like sitting here in the morning because I like what I can see, but it doesn't do too much for my the light here. So two, and this is for Camille, or all of us. Yin, essential meaning is the feminine principle of receptivity, letting someone else make the first move, gathering information and taking in cues, the art of conscious allowing. Big lesson for all of us. And the protection message says this: do you have trouble receiving? You stop the flow of abundance when you continually insist upon being the giver. You can't always lead, always give, always teach. You must be the student, the open vessel, and the one who receives the gift, gesture, or offer in equal measure. Open up and let love, life, abundance, and spirit fill you without demand or expectation. Just receive the bounty that is yours. Woohoo! Gotta love that card. Camille, so Sarah, I saw somebody pop in here, Dion Deschen, with a heart. Does that mean you want a reading, sweetie? Let me know, because if so, I would love to, since you're fairly new. I've seen your name a couple of times here, so if you want a card reading, Dion, let me know. In the meantime, I'm going to pull one now for Sarah from the Animal Spirit Collection. These cards are so beautiful. It's interesting how animals come to us and speak to us, right? Whether you're welcome, sweetie. I had some aha yesterday at the zoo. What was it? Now I don't remember. This one is for Sarah. Oh, I just remembered what the other interesting thing was. Ooh, that card went flying. Sarah is the wombat spirit, upside down. Wombat, turn over. It says, be at home. She's wearing a little crown. I don't know. I've never seen a wombat in real life. It's card 68, which is a 14, which is a 5. Speaking to change and constructive use of freedom. Remind me to tell you guys about the eagle and the crows, ravens, whatever they were. Wombat spirit. It's at the end of the deck. So the oracle's message, and it was upside down, so I'm going to read the protection message, says, could it be that you're not feeling comfortable in your own skin, thinking that the only way you can be with others is to hide under the protection of a mask, or an identity you created to protect yourself from getting hurt? This mask or persona is supposed to make you look strong, but it really just robs you of your integrity. Wombat spirit arrives to nudge you to drop the false masks, because it is not others who will hurt you now. It is you who are hurting yourself when you aren't being authentic. It's okay, though. You can course correct if you are willing to be yourself no matter what comes. Even if others are not in agreement with your authenticity, you are safe with spirit. That's huge, right? That's huge. How many of us are amongst people who don't understand our spirituality, who don't understand the work that we're doing? I found myself in an interesting position yesterday as I was riding with another mom to the zoo. We couldn't get on the bus. There was just too many kids. And I had told her we were having a discussion about what we were doing, or how, you know, she's a friend of my daughter's, and she grew up with knowing me as Heather's mom, and she asked me, I had told her I had written, you know, a contributed writer to a book, and she's like, oh, and she didn't ask me at the moment, but later on the way home, she says, well, what was the book about? And I was like, oh, wow, how am I gonna, how, because her daughter, her son, and her daughter, her husband, excuse me, and my granddaughter, we were all in the car together. And I'm like, oh, it was a book on astrology. And, you know, I sat there for a moment and resisted being true to who I am. You know, I don't know what I was thinking. Like, are they going to think I'm a whack job? I mean, that's what I kind of thought. So being true to you sometimes is really difficult when you come from a family that was, you know, where you were raised one way, but your inclination now is different, or you find yourself in a workplace where people aren't resonating with what your true work is, or your neighborhood, your town, your state. You know, the state I live in is really open, and you know, I feel comfortable here. But put me in another state, like maybe a Georgia or a Florida or something like that, and I'm going to feel like I'm a fish out of water because, you know, there's so many forces that are not in alignment with what I'm aligned with. So that's kind of what this card is speaking to you about in this, Sarah, is being at home and being true to you, no matter what forces are around you. Hope that makes sense. Let's see, Jennifer Peachy, you're most welcome, Camille. Oh, I already saw that. In light of that last message, I'm happy to receive, but I was just sending love to you for the service that you are blessing us all with. Oh, you're so sweet. So, Dion, I'm going to pull a card for you from the Wisdom of the Oracle. And so I was going to tell you about the story about the eagle and the crows. So if any of you live anywhere where there are bald eagles, or you know, maybe golden eagles have the same, the eagles are everywhere here. So I get to watch their behavior a lot. And they're very competitive for food, and they will chase one another. And when you watch ravens and crows, they'll kind of do the same behavior, only they're a smaller bird, right? The eagles are huge. If you've ever seen an eagle, they're huge. I mean, their wingspan could be 6 to 8 feet. So they're an impressive bird. scary, you know, too, at times when they're flying around. And yesterday I walked into a pen, and what drew me in was this cacophony of sound, birds you screeching at one another. And what it turned out to be was an eagle. Oh, this pulled out for you, Dion, Treasure Island. So I'll read that in just a moment. So here's this eagle, a bald eagle, angry or upset, screeching at the top of its lungs. And two ravens or crows, I couldn't tell you which they are because I was so mesmerized by what was happening. I can't tell you which one of they were. And they were like arguing back at the eagle. And then they reached some kind of agreement. You could tell, like some kind of agreement had been reached. And they flew, the two ravens or the two crows flew down to the ground. And my granddaughter goes, ooh, grandma, they're eating a rat. And I went, oh my God. I look over the railing, and sure enough, what these two sets of birds had been fighting over was food. And it wasn't even a rat, it was a dead guinea pig or something like that. Obviously, probably fed it, put in there for the eagle. I don't know how the crows got into the same area, or the ravens, whatever they were, but the agreement had been reached that they could eat the meat. It was crazy. But I love watching nature like that. So if you know, birds that don't normally get along, that normally are fighting and competing with each other for a source of food, can get along, so can we, right? We can reach agreements. All right, so Treasure Island, this is for you, Dion, and this will be the last one because we're now at 9:15. I can't even believe the time has flown this fast. Card number 9. And I love this card. You can pretty much guess what it's speaking to. Abundance. So the essential meaning of the card is the law of attraction bringing dreams into fruition. The results of positive thinking made manifest, abundance appearing as if from nowhere, financial gains, and the sharing of good fortune. I love it. You've worked hard and acted upon your unwavering belief in abundance, and suddenly, in the midst of it all, you hit the jackpot. You have uncovered the map to buried treasure and tapped the unlimited potential within you. What you must hone now is your ability to recognize when X marks the spot, because some of these golden opportunities may be obvious, but others may not be so readily apparent. Trust your intuition to light your way now as you enter this truly prosperous phase, where all the long, hard work navigating your inner life is now paying off externally. In all aspects of your life at this time, you have good fortune. Don't forget to enjoy it and share it with others, as treasure shared multiplies like magic. God, what a wonderful card to leave the weekend for the weekend. That's for you, Dion. That's for all of us, but for you, Dion. Colleen says, I have often seen eagles, hawks with their catch in their claws. Eagles are here too. Lots of food, though. We have lots of eagles. There's one in the tree. He's just magically appeared up there. And they, you know, there's a lot of salmon, ducks. Food is plentiful. But I've also seen them come right down here by my house and swoop up a bunny. So I have to be very careful with my kitty cat, who's the color of a bunny. And I'm always worried a little bit that, you know, she's going to get swooped up if I don't, you know, be vigilant and keep an eye on her. Sarah, I've been neglecting happiness and on autopilot because I feel like no one will understand me. I've always been true to myself, but I've definitely put my emotions on the back burner. I guess the card says it's time for you to change, right? Okay, everybody, that is it for me today. And I will see you all Monday morning. We'll take up what's coming up for the month of June, as well as the week. For those of you who are in the membership group, today's the day. We're going to do the June webinar this afternoon at 4 p.m. Pacific, which would be 7 p.m. East Coast time. And I will post the link in the Living Astrology Academy Facebook page. So that's where I want you to find it. Apparently, you guys aren't getting emails from me. That is so frustrating. But I'll figure this out eventually. In the meantime, everybody take care, and we'll see you soon. Bye for now.